أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us once again. We are going to talk about another important issue, that is Allah, the efficient cause. So to have an image, we have to go back a bit and draw this picture for our dear viewers and listeners, that cause and effect is one of those universal philosophical rules, that everything is, that every possible thing is in dire need of cause. Every effect is standing in need of it is cause. So let me have a very brief discussion about the cause and effect. And there are many classifications, there are many categorizations the philosophers have made about cause and effect. So if a person or if one of our listeners or dear viewers are going to pursue this topic in detail, of course they have to refer to those philosophical books that have been written in this regard. But in this program that we are going to present for our listeners, in a very synoptic fashion, we are going to treat this topic. So firstly, one of the categorizations made for cause is this. Sometimes the cause is either real, efficient, and sometimes that is
preparatory.
It means sometimes the causes are real. If the causes are absent, indeed the effects would be absent too. If cause comes, the effect would spontaneously emerge and appear. There is a logical and a very close relation between cause and effect. When cause comes, effects will be there. But sometimes the cause is in a manner that it paves the ground for the emergence of effect. Let me give you an example. You know that when a tree is going to grow, there are multiple causes and factors behind. It's starting from the seed, then the soil, then water, then a very expert farmer. And beyond that, a very appropriate and good weather and climate. So all these climate, expert farmer, light, seed, and dust, water, all of them together bring about a tree. So this is one kind of classification about cause and effect. In Arabic, we call it illatul haqiqiyya and illatul mu'idda. The first is real and the second is
preparatory.
It means it prepares the ground for the emergence of an effect. This is one kind of classification about cause. Another important classification about causes that sometimes the cause can be substituted. And sometimes the cause can never ever be substituted. This is another classification. For example, about the light, there might be only one source of producing light, or there might be multiple or different kinds of sources for producing of the electricity or light. There might be multiple sources for production of light. So here we cannot say that this water is the only source of producing electricity. No, there are multiple sources. There might be different sources for production of electricity. So water cannot be labeled as the sole and mere cause for the production of electricity. But there are sometimes causes that they do not have any substitute. There are some causes, there might be some causes, or a cause that they do not accept any other alternative. We cannot find any other alternative for this cause. Except that specific cause, we cannot have the effect, because the effect is coming only from one source. This is another classification of cause and effect, that sometimes the effects come out of multiple causes or multiple sources, multiple factors, and sometimes there is only one exclusive and monopoly cause that these effects can never be brought about except through the same channel, through the very specific channel. And there is the third kind of classification about cause and effect. Sometimes there is a very close relation between cause and effect. When you think that this should exist, the effect exists. When you think that a cause is not existent, for sure you will come to this conclusion that the effect also does not exist. To make it more understandable for you, I have to give an example. For example, happiness and sadness. These are some mental status or some psychological states we experience in our daily life. Such kind of personal experiences are bound or dependent on existence of an individual. The moment you think not of an individual, you cannot think of sadness and happiness. The very feelings, the very sentiments are deeply and closely bound on existence of an individual. So another example in this respect can be given as a light and the source of the light. The moment the source of light is switched off, indeed these lamps will be made off too. It means the moment we do not have electricity from the source, so the rest of the houses, the rest of the markets will be deprived of the electricity and will be deprived of the light. So a very close mutual relationship exists between these two. So now when we say that Almighty Allah is an efficient cause, Almighty Allah is the first and the primal cause of everything, we believe that the human beings and the rest of the creatures' relationship with Almighty Allah is not of the causes which have substitutes, is not of the causes which can be found alternatives for. Moreover, there can never be multiple factors behind this universe. There is only one primal and final cause, and that is Almighty Allah. If a person asks, for example, that, okay, Almighty Allah is like that of analogy, that watchmaker or clockmaker. If a clockmaker makes the clock, then the clock does not need the presence of clockmaker to run. So clocks run without the presence of clockmaker. We did say in one of the sessions that this analogy is fallacious. This analogy is not true in respect with Almighty Allah. For Almighty Allah is the first, the primal, and the essential, and the necessary existent, whose existence can never ever be ignored. In all the creatures' existence depend and are bound to Almighty Allah's favor and Almighty Allah's mercy. The moment Almighty Allah does not want, all the existence, all the creatures would perish. Considering the fact that there is a close mutual relationship between cause and effect, the moment cause does not come, the effect will not be present. These classifications in these sessions were made to make it sure for our dear listeners that there might be multiple phases, there might be multiple assumptions about cause and effect. But what matters most in our discussion is that Almighty Allah is the sole and the mere cause. And there is not any other cause in parallel to Almighty Allah. Moreover, Almighty, there cannot be found another substitute, another alternative to replace Almighty Allah's mercy and favor. This must be taken into account. Dear listeners and respectable audience, there are some three important features that this efficient cause possesses. Firstly, the efficient cause, the necessarily existent being, I mean wajibul wujud. It should possess all the positives of the effects. When cause brings about an effect, so effect is the lower level of the existence of a cause. We believe that when Almighty Allah is the first and the primal cause, He should possess all the positive aspects of the other effects and be free from all those negative aspects of His creatures. We call it Mustajma' Jami' Kamalat. Almighty Allah possesses all positive aspects of the creatures, but is freed of all the negatives and is freed of all the negative aspects and dimension of the creatures. This is the first. Secondly, this efficient cause should have some difference with the rest of the causes. Sometimes a person might think that, okay, a farmer is also the cause of this flower. Why? Because the flower will not grow unless an expert farmer, along with the rest of the materials, should work together. We believe that, for sure, Almighty Allah brings about the phenomenon. Almighty Allah brings about the creatures from nothingness, when they do not exist. But the rest of the causes only bring some sort of modification, some sort of transformation. The rest of the causes only change or bring about some changes in the moods or in the fashion of the things. Think of a housemaker. He builds the building while being contributed by many other materials. There is iron, there is brick, there is water, there is electricity. There are too many or multiple factors behind building of a building, behind construction of a house. You know that only we make a montage or we bring some materials together so that a house should be made. But we do not create the things. We do not create the things from nothingness. One of the exclusive characteristics of Almighty Allah's being efficient cause is that He brings the things from nothingness. Though there are some philosophical arguments that, okay, Almighty Allah does not bring existence from nothingness. Rather, Almighty Allah, from since He is eternal, from the very time that we think Almighty Allah was eternal, so the creation and the creatures were with Almighty Allah. Anyhow, but Almighty Allah's important characteristic is that Almighty Allah is creative. Almighty Allah creates, while the rest of the causes, while the rest of the human being, they cannot create. They bring some changes in these materials, making third products. This is very much important that should be kept in mind. Another important factor or feature about Almighty Allah's being efficient causes, that Almighty Allah's mercy, Almighty Allah's grace, Almighty Allah's blessings shower upon the human beings forever, from eternity. There are some causes that when they create, when they make something, or when they bring about an effect, so after that they do not need, as it was mentioned about the clockmaker. You know, when the motorbike or when the motors are made, then these machines work without being in need that the factory's workers should be present. No, they work for themselves. So our dependence to Almighty Allah is from that of psychological states. When we have some pictures, when we have some feelings, for sure, these sentiments depend on our pre-existence. If we do not think that there is a human, indeed we cannot think of the happiness, the sadness in these feelings. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, another important point that today, God willing, we are going to touch, that is that in our Islamic literature, most of the theologians and scholars have been busy thinking, contemplating about the names and attributes of Almighty Allah. So there are multi-names and many attributes or variety of attributes ascribed to Almighty Allah. We did classify that. The attributes can be classified into two categories, positives and negatives. Positives are those attributes that should be attributed to Almighty Allah. And negative attributes are those that we should negate those attributes from Almighty Allah. This is the first classification. Though you know that names and attributes literally have different meanings, but in our Ahlul Bayt's literature, they have used them interchangeably. It means they have used sometimes names and they have sometimes used the attributes. They think that names and attributes both represent Almighty Allah, and the names and attributes are actually one. We should not differentiate between names and attributes of Almighty Allah. So another important point about the attributes of Almighty Allah is this, that sometimes we think about Almighty Allah, about His essence, that what Almighty Allah can be attributed. For example, is Almighty Allah alive? So this kind of thinking about Almighty Allah's essence, when we think about such kind of attributes which come out of Almighty Allah's essence, they are called sifat dhati. It means these attributes are related to Almighty Allah's essence, Almighty Allah's mere essence. But sometimes we think of attributes when Almighty Allah acts, when Almighty Allah has some sort of relation with the rest of the creatures, when Almighty Allah's action, when Almighty Allah is thought about with His creatures, so there can be found multiple attributes. For example, Almighty Allah is the best provider. So this provider, it means Ar-Raziq. This attribute can be understood when we think of a person who is in need of providence. When a person is in need of food, in need of his basic needs. When we think that Almighty Allah is a Shafi, it means He gives the He rescues and He cures the patients. We should think of a patient, otherwise His attribute can never be understood. So abstractly, I should say that sometimes we think of Almighty Allah's essence. So these attributes are related to Almighty Allah's essence. We call it Sifat Dhati. It means the attributes that are related to Almighty Allah's essence. Second, sometimes we think of Almighty Allah, but His relation and His action with His creatures. For example, forgivefulness. So when we think of forgivefulness, we think of a creature. We think of a sinful person that Almighty Allah forgives his sin. Such kind of attributes are called sifat fi'li, not dhati. Dhati is related to Almighty Allah's essence. And fi'li is related to Almighty Allah's works, Almighty Allah's actions, Almighty Allah's behavior and treatment with the creatures. So it matters most that we have to keep this distinction in our mind. There can be two types of attributes in regard with Almighty Allah. Sometimes the attributes are related to Almighty Allah's essence, so they are sifat dhati. But sometimes these attributes are related to Almighty Allah's actions, so they are called sifat fi'li. When we think of sifat fi'li, we have to think of the third party too. I mean, Allah, His action, and the third party, the human beings or the rest of the creatures. But when we think of Almighty Allah's essential attributes, we only think about two parties, Almighty Allah and His essence. There is no place for the third party. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, in the Holy Quran, we can find both of these attributes. Both of these attributes are available in the Quranic parlance. There are various verses of the Holy Quran that touch either this attribute of Almighty Allah or that attribute of Almighty Allah. There are various verses of the Holy Quran that touch both the essential attributes and those attributes which are related to Almighty Allah's action. For example, Almighty Allah has said, "Laysa kamithlihi shay." There is no parallel to Almighty Allah. We cannot find anyone that should resemble Almighty Allah. There are some various verses of the Holy Quran that talk about the attributes which are related to Almighty Allah's essence. And there are various verses of the Holy Quran that touch and address those attributes which are related to Almighty Allah's actions. This is one division. Another division is also imaginable about Almighty Allah's attributes. Sometimes the attributes are positive, like Huwa al-Awwal wal-Akhir wal-Zahir wal-Batin, and there are some negative attributes too. As the Holy Quran says, "Laysa kamithlihi shay." In the very verse of the Holy Quran, while Almighty Allah says "Laysa kamithlihi shay," but again says "Wa huwa as-Sami'ul Basir." It means in one verse of the Holy Quran, we can find both positive and negative attributes. Both the positive and negative attributes can be ascribed to Almighty Allah. So, dear listeners and respectable audience, may God bless us all that we have to have a full grasp of all these attributes and we have to remain committed to Almighty Allah's does and don'ts. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.